According to a new survey, many office workers in the U.S. spend a little less than half of their working hours on their main job duties. Instead, they're sending emails, doing administrative tasks, or getting interrupted. The survey comes from AtTask, which makes management software, and was conducted by Harris Poll. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, is with us from New York, as he is each week. Hi, Derek.
Good to be back.
Well, who was surveyed here, and tell us more about the findings.
This was a survey of larger companies, 1,000 employees or more, written up in The Atlantic by Bure Lam, one of my colleagues. And it found that we spend about 45% of our time taking care of, as you put it, these primary work duties. We spend another 15% on email, which is this kind of gray area between productivity and lack thereof. And then we spend 40% on just about everything else. So when you add it up, it seems about safe to say that although the average workday is about 8-9 hours, the amount of time we're actually working is more like 4 or 4.5 hours a day, which incidentally is about the same amount of time that Nielsen says we watch television.
Well, let's talk about email for a second, because this was supposed to make our lives easier, to make us more productive. I know in the case of my work day, just putting the show on the air takes precedence. And at the end of the day, I'll go through my emails and often get way behind on them. And perhaps that makes me less productive because I'm not responding to things as quickly as I should. But is email not living up to its promise anymore?
I think it's fair to say that there are some things that we're doing at work that are clearly productive, and then some things that we're doing at work that are clearly not productive. Email, I think, is somewhere in the middle. Certainly, I couldn't do my job without email. I think a lot of people couldn't do their jobs without email. And it should be said that even though email is an absolutely essential way of staying in touch with lots of people, it's also a way of communicating with people the same way you might over a telephone or walking across the office and sharing a funny cat video. One upside of email is that it's easy to send. And a downside of email is that it's easy to send. And so there's so much of it. There are so many mornings that I wake up and there are 20 emails simply waiting for me in my inbox for me to delete. And so you see that categorizing email on the part of a survey is very difficult to say, are these people working or are they not working? Because it's simply a communications protocol and it can be used to send any sort of communication, whether or not that is actually productive for getting work done.
I've actually talked to people who will wait on an email that they might want to send on a Saturday. They'll wait until first thing Monday morning because then it's going to be the top of your inbox with all those 20 other emails that you get.
Right, right, exactly.
What about this?
I mean,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's a lot of interesting email technologies right now, like Mailbox, which is essentially all about getting rid of the clutter and trying to find people down to inbox zero. A lot of people have figured out that email is such a nuisance in their life, despite its possible productivity, that they're really trying to find ways to gamify the reduction of email to zero.
What about this interruption part of the story, the idea that when your colleagues might come over to ask you a question or you're having meetings or whatever the case might be, isn't that an important part of your job? Shouldn't that count as the main part of your job, interruptions?
Interruptions absolutely are going to be a part of everybody's workday. I think the question here is whether or not we should categorize meetings as always productive. And, you know, meetings are a little bit like email in that because they're so easy to call into action, we tend to call more meetings than we should. We tend to invite more people to those meetings than need to be there. And we stay at those meetings much longer than we need to in order to get a productive outcome. So I think that although you have a meeting culture in a lot of different industries, advertising, sales, marketing, so many elements of corporate culture that would not be possible without getting a couple of heads together in a room to solve a problem, that's not going to go away. But we've the culture of meetings, I think, in America right now is a little bit broken because it's so easy to call people to these things. We tend to overcall meetings and overprescribe ourselves.
If there's a manager listening to this, Derek, what should they do? What's an actual concrete step that they can take to make their workforce more productive?
I think that it's very easy for people to confuse busyness with productivity. You often have this sense that you might come back from a day of work and you feel like it was fully structured. You went from one meeting to another. You solved certain tasks. But if the question from your spouse or from your roommate, from your friend wasn't, did you have a busy day, but did you have a productive day, it'd be interesting to know how those answers have changed. Because suddenly you're looking not at time spent working on problems, but at actual outcomes. And if one of the problems of meetings is that we spend a lot of time talking about solutions to problems and not actually coming up with them, that we don't have these actual solutions to rest our heads on. And so I think that, you know, one thing that a lot of these productivity companies are pointing to is focus on outcomes, focus on actually doing having things that you've accomplished rather than patting yourself on the back because you've spent a lot of time being busy at work.
Let me throw another wrench into the works here. This is right out of the Atlantic article. It says mobile technology has obliterated the very idea of a set hour work week. That is, we take our work home with us. Doesn't that make it, I guess, a little more okay to be interrupted, to be doing email, to not be spending your full day at work actually doing your primary job tasks?
Jeremy, that's exactly right. We can do more personal stuff at work than ever before, but we can also do more work stuff in our personal lives than ever before. Mobile technology has, as you said, completely obliterated the idea of a set hour work week because we're always reachable now. And so there's an expectation that we're always on. And in this piece that I wrote a few months ago, Harvard Business School did a survey asking North American workers how long they were, quote, on. That means working, monitoring work, remaining accessible. It found that the shadow work week, the amount of time we spend on, isn't the 40-hour work week. It's 88 hours a week,
yeah,
checking our phones, knowing it's in our pocket. And so I think that you sort of have a blurring of the line between work and private life. We might be doing more of our private life business at our work office, at our desk, but we're always taking work home with us when we can be reached from our mobile device.
Well, how much time are we spending at work doing Facebook and just things that watching cat videos, as you say?
Right. I mean, I think that sometimes people overblow the fact that we don't tend to work all 9 hours of the day, that we're seated at the desk at the office. It's been shown just time and time again that taking short breaks is fantastic for maintaining long-term productivity. It is impossible to just be a robot and work hour after hour and maintain that level of creative problem solving and productivity. And so taking breaks is good. Looking at cat videos is fine. Checking out Facebook for a few minutes is fine. But, you know, like Aristotle said, everything in moderation, nothing too much. We should be focused at the end of the day on outcomes, not on busyness.
Are we, Derek, one word answer here. Are we working more, less, or the same as we were in the past?
I'm going to break the rule. Less, but it feels like more.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.